tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 16th of April 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's Thursday, which means it is Geopolitical Analysis Day, and who better to get your geopolitical analysis from than Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well, thank God. I have my co-host with me. Stanley is asleep at my feet. So, but if he has anything to add, you know, I'll bring him up to the desk.
Well, we don't very often hear from them, actually, which I must say are quite well-behaved cats. We did have two topics today that we could have talked about. The first was Hungary and the Hungarian election. I did a podcast about that on Monday. Mark Collette's done something on that, and I think Red Eyes have done something on that. Everybody is talking about the Hungarian election. So we are going to do something different. Today, we are going to be talking about the current rift between Turkey and Israel. And both countries do appear as if they are on a collision course. And for our notes today, we will be using globalresearch.ca. In a sharp escalation of rhetoric, Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan has accused Israel of attempting to position Turkey as a new enemy following Iran amid increasingly tense exchanges between officials from both countries. Fidan emphasized that ending Israel's occupation of Lebanese territory and ensuring the protection of civilians are urgent priorities that cannot be delayed. He warned that continued Israeli expansion and the imposition of its geopolitical agenda would make lasting peace, stability, and security in the Middle East unattainable. He also stressed the importance of preventing the Israeli government, led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, from undermining ceasefire agreements or derailing ongoing diplomatic efforts. Fidan highlighted the need to maintain international momentum in support of de-escalation. Furthermore, he urged the international community not to lose focus on the Palestinian issue, despite shifting regional developments. He pointed to the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza and called on Israel to adhere to ceasefire terms and begin reconstruction efforts without delay, reaffirming Turkey's readiness to contribute. And I find this interesting because if you look at what the Gulf states are saying, they're very anti-Iran at the moment, obviously because Iran has been firing missiles at the American bases in their country. So they're really not very happy with Iran, not very happy with the Palestinians. But Turkey here is still speaking up for the Palestinians and I guess by extension speaking up for the Iranians and the Lebanese, and is saying that it is Israel that is causing instability with its expansionist agenda. I mean, it's he's been quite aggressively against Israel, which is not something we are really used to seeing, I don't think, from other countries apart from Iran. But I don't think Iran has any particular treaties with Turkey. Does Iran have treaties with Turkey, Matt? And what do you make of what's happening here?
Well, generally speaking, their trade between the two is substantial. It's in the billions. So, you know, they are allies, at least in that regard. But you're right to say that for the first time, Turkey matters in something relevant to the occupied territories. People kind of forget about Turkey. But right now, the condition of Israel is you know, they've been pummeled. They're totally out of ammunition. So much of their infrastructure, military and otherwise, has been destroyed. So I don't know what they're going, you know, what they think they're going to do. This may be a very good time for the Turks to make demands. Anything, the Iran war has taken people's attention off Gaza, which is still going on. Turkey has not forgotten. And, you know, as far as the Gulf states go, you know, they don't want to kick the U.S. out. Yeah, there might be anti-Iran, but they also want to throw the Americans out, too. Those bases have been destroyed. American casualties are very high. Israel has been fighting on at least three fronts for quite some time. It simply doesn't have the ability to take on, you know, probably the strongest country in the area, Turkey, the second strongest country in NATO, if you want to talk to just by the numbers. Why Turkey remains in NATO, I don't know. But if they go against Israel in any way whatsoever, dropping out might be might be inevitable.
Well, I seem to remember saying a while back that I saw this video, and it was somebody quite high up in the Netanyahu government. It might have been the defense minister. And he was saying, watch out, Turkey, because we're coming for you next after Iran. And I think this was even before the current conditions in Iran, before America had started bombing the place. And this person from the Israeli government was saying, we're coming for Turkey after we've finished in Iran. And I haven't heard more about it since then. But quite clearly, there is animosity between the two countries. These remarks followed strong criticism from Netanyahu and Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz. That's who it might have been. It might have been the defense minister who attacked Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan over his statements regarding the ceasefire between Washington and Tehran. Speaking during a meeting with editors from Anadolu Agency, Fidan stated, Israel cannot exist without an enemy. We see that not only Netanyahu's government, but also some opposition members are trying to classify Turkey as a new enemy. He described this trend as a relatively new phenomenon in Israeli politics, initially driven by domestic protests and later evolving into a broader state-level strategy. When asked about the risk of wider regional conflict, Fidan warned, this is possible. Unfortunately, we find ourselves once again in the same situation. He argued that Israel's expansionist policy since October 7, 2023, along with its occasional reliance on the United States and other actors to advance its agenda, have further destabilized an already fragile region. Addressing military actions in Lebanon following the ceasefire between Washington and Tehran, Fidan described them as part of a broader regional expansion project. He pointed to a recurring pattern of sustained bombardment targeting specific areas in Lebanon, which has led to the displacement of more than 1 million people. Israel responded forcefully. Netanyahu stated on the social platform X that Israel would continue its campaign against Iran and its allies, accusing Erdogan of supporting them and committing abuses against Kurdish citizens. Katz went further, describing Turkey as a paper tiger and accusing Erdogan of avoiding confrontation with Iran while resorting to anti-Israel rhetoric and politically motivated legal actions. One point that really stands out to me, that is, they want to have a go at Erdogan, obviously. And what do they pick up on? Oh, he's abusing his Kurdish citizens. He's gassing his own people, isn't it? It's exactly the same playbook every time, Matt, don't you think?
And they're being used by the Americans as cannon fodder. And the Iranian government has warned them in their autonomous zone, in the far north of the country, don't you dare start this. And but that's all they really are. They're the darlings of the faculty lounge because they're leftists, the PKK. I did a lecture on that. Feminist, you know, absolute media darlings too. I love how he says occasional reliance, no, total reliance on the U.S. But the rhetoric here doesn't connect with the realities. You know, Israel has been pounded. You know, Israel is absolutely struggling to maintain anything economically as well as militarily. So what are they going to use to expand? Unless you're talking about American troops or even nuclear weapons, which I don't think is going to, they're not going to be used. But and the paper tiger comment is pure projection. But Turkey is far stronger than Israel militarily and economically. And people forget that the Turks have cut off all direct trade with Israel, exports and imports. Now, this is, as far as I know, the first time they've done it. Used to be something like, you know, like $6 billion a year. That was the number in 2023. Turkish exports and imports have fallen by 99.8%. Now, there's ways you can get around that. But this is a country that has completely cut off Israel. How the U.S. can tolerate that, I don't know. And again, their membership in NATO doesn't make any sense, especially since they've, you know, so many of their, so much of their weaponry is coming from Russia. Of course, you know, Turkey's first world, you know, they have their own military industrial complex. But Israel's in no position to make threats. And it's great that, that Turkey has kept the Gaza issue alive. You know, people have such short attention spans. That is still going on. Israel is still struggling. And the invasion of Lebanon, this is the second time in a year they've attacked the UN bases. And typical of them, they attack civilian targets. They know they can't get too far. So it's a terror invasion. And they attack, you know, hospitals and schools. This is normal for Israel. And this is what's driving the Turks crazy. Plus, the simple fact, if Erdogan is not seen as anti-Israel and very strong against Israel, he's not going to win any elections. Neither will his party. And they've already been punished for that years past. So this is not something that's hypothetical. This is something that has to happen. And cutting off trade entirely has brought Turkey into this. And this is the last country that Israel wants as an enemy.
Well, I find it interesting. He also brings up the fact that the threat to the ceasefire comes from Israel, and it came from Israel straight away when Israel continued to bomb Lebanon, even though the proclamation about the ceasefire made it clear. It made it clear in Pakistan. It made it clear in all the information that I've seen that Lebanon was a part of the ceasefire. And then Israel said, oh, yes, but Hezbollah wasn't a part of the ceasefire. Lebanon were, but Hezbollah wasn't. So they just used this excuse of they were bombing Hezbollah when they took out half of South Beirut, and then said to everybody they had to move out of Beirut and warned them and just carried on bombing them. So it's quite clear that Israel doesn't listen to anything that America says. And then Trump had to come up with some kind of an excuse for why it was okay for Israel to do this and break the ceasefire. Well, in a significant development, Turkish prosecutors have issued an indictment against 35 Israeli officials, including Netanyahu, over the interception of ships belonging to the Global Freedom Flotilla, which were attempting to deliver aid to Gaza. Now, there was a Freedom Flotilla some years back, and we did a podcast about it because Israeli military abseiled onto the boat and machine gunned a load of people. So there have been issues with these flotillas and with Israel before. And I'm wondering whether this Global Freedom Flotilla, whether this was the one that had Greta Thunberg on it. She was quite famously on one of these flotillas, and this happened recently, which would say that Turkey must have been organizing this, basically. Well, the indictment includes serious charges such as crimes against humanity, torture, unlawful detention, property damage, and genocide. Well, I'm not quite sure how they can genocide the people on a Global Freedom Flotilla. I'm not quite sure that if it says global, then it doesn't mean it's national, does it? So I'm not quite sure why they call it genocide there. Turkish authorities describe the interception carried out in international waters as illegal and systematic, involving violence and degrading treatment of civilians. The incident, which involved the interception of 42 ships and the detention of hundreds of international activists, has become a major point of contention between Ankara and Tel Aviv, further intensifying diplomatic and media confrontations. A report published by The Telegraph sparked widespread controversy after alleging that Erdogan had threatened to invade Israel. Turkish authorities quickly denied the claim, stating that it was based on outdated remarks taken out of context. Turkey's Disinformation Counter Center dismissed the... I thought they have a Disinformation Counter Center. Well, that makes them rather suspicious, doesn't it? I'm sure Israel has the same. Well, Israel's responsible for a lot of the disinformation in the first place. But Turkey's Disinformation Counter Center dismissed the allegations as manipulative narratives aimed at undermining regional stability, emphasizing that such claims do not reflect official policy. Despite the denial, the report highlighted how Erdogan's often harsh rhetoric towards Israel continues to fuel tensions, even as Ankara appears keen to avoid uncontrolled escalation. The current crisis also highlights long-standing contradictions in Turkish-Israeli relations. Despite Erdogan's strong criticism of Israel in recent years, earlier periods were marked by close diplomatic engagement, high-level visits and cooperation. These fluctuations reflect a broader pattern in which political rhetoric and strategic interests do not always align, particularly in a volatile regional environment. Beyond political tensions, strategic competition plays a significant role. Israel's efforts to position itself as a key exporter of natural gas to Europe, especially after Europe reduced its reliance on Russian gas, have brought it into indirect competition with Turkey. Ankara has been strengthening ties with regional actors, including Egypt, Syria, and Libya, to expand its influence in energy and transport corridors. Projects aimed at linking the Gulf to Europe through Turkey, along with regional railway initiatives, could undermine competing Israeli plans. Now, just a thought about that. I thought that Turkey had a pipeline coming to Turkey from Russia with Russian gas in it, and that Turkey was then selling that back to Europe. But what it appears to be saying here is that it's Middle Eastern gas which is going to be going through Turkey into Europe. I mean, which of that is true, Matt? Is Turkey getting their gas from Russia, or are they getting it from the Middle East, or are they getting it from both? And what are your thoughts on this quote?
Well, don't forget, the waters off Gaza apparently are loaded with it. And to what extent that's being exploited, I don't know. This has a lot to do, not everything, of course, but it has a lot to do with Israeli policy. Their infrastructure in that regard has been destroyed, as far as I know. The Iranians stepped it up, and there's really no way to that the Israel has to intercept their missiles anymore. And yes, we have spoken about the various flotillas giving aid. You have literally starving people there. But this is the first time that Turkey has been directly involved. And I don't know if Turkish citizens have been killed. That's probably in the indictment, which, you know, is not public as far as I know. And when they say illegal and systematic, meaning it's been institutionalized. Any aid, any assistance, they just say that this is, you know, there are weapons that are being brought to Gaza. 42 ships is a substantial flotilla. And I think we'll talk about the invasion comments here a little bit later. Of course, they don't want that known. But I know the context. I've read his speech in that regard. And there was no question about what he meant. Usually people saying it's out of context, they probably don't know what context means. It's just a slogan. He meant it. And given Israel's very weakened state, the only thing that they have is nuclear weapons. And I don't know where they're stored or if the Iranians have hit that area, but they're just destroying the military and civilian, especially the energy infrastructure of that country. And so if there's a time to invade Israel. It's now.
I think the problem with that is Israel's American allies. I think that's what probably prevents Turkey from doing something like that, prevents Iran from doing something like that, just to protect the Gazans. It's, you know, it's not necessarily the worry about the nuclear Israel. It's the worry about Israel's American allies. Well, the intensifying exchange of accusations, legal actions and geopolitical maneuvering between Turkey and Israel reflects a deeper struggle over regional influence, energy routes and political legitimacy. While both sides continue to engage in sharp rhetoric, underlying strategic calculations suggest that neither Ankara nor Tel Aviv are seeking a full-scale confrontation, at least for now. However, the persistence of these tensions, combined with fragile regional dynamics, leaves open the possibility of further escalation in the near future. Turkey was among the first countries to recognise Israel, but within the 1967 borders, not according to any expansionist projects. Traditionally, the Turkish position has rejected using regional crises as a pretext for expansion or imposing dominance over other states. The tension in these relations is often linked to the rise of right-wing governments in Israel, such as Benjamin Netanyahu's government. And that surprises me, really, because Erdogan is known as a right-wing government as well. But, of course, nationalists are known as right-wing, and most of us don't support Israel either. So I guess we shouldn't really see it that surprising, as one right-wing government isn't happy with another right-wing government, such as Netanyahu's one. Its disagreements are not limited to Turkey alone, but extend to many countries in the region due to policies based on threats, military escalation, and targeting multiple arenas simultaneously. Since the outbreak of war in Gaza, Recep Tayyip Erdogan has directed direct criticism at the Israeli government, calling on it to act as a responsible state within international law, rather than as an entity that exceeds these rules, whether by using food as a tool of siege or by targeting civilians and journalists. Based on this, it can be said that the problem is not in the Turkish-Israeli relationship itself, but rather in the nature of the policies pursued by the current Israeli government. Netanyahu is seen as a key factor of tension, seeking to expand the scope of conflict and perhaps using it politically to avoid his internal crises. If a change in the Israeli government occurs, it is likely that we will witness a gradual return to normal relations, especially since the tension began economically before developing into political and social dimensions, with Turkish attempts to exert pressure through economic tools that have not yet succeeded in changing Israeli behaviour. This narrative about the possibility of a direct military confrontation between Turkey and Israel is frequently repeated in the media and often falls within an Israeli narrative based on the idea of a constant need for an enemy to strengthen internal cohesion. However, in practice, the likelihood of a direct military confrontation between the two sides remains low, although theoretically possible, for several reasons. Number one, Turkey is a member of NATO, which provides it with a complex strategic umbrella. Number two, Ankara is an important ally of the United States and is not in a position similar to Iran in terms of isolation or the nature of the threat. Number three, Turkey is a strong regional power with multiple leverage tools, geographical, political, and economic. Well, looking at that, Matt, I would say, I mean, that really sort of says that's probably one of the reasons why Turkey is a member of NATO, is because it provides it with all these European allies, and that gives it a protective umbrella against states such as Israel that they might fall out with. So, I mean, just on that basis alone, I would have thought that Turkey are unlikely to pull out of NATO. I mean, what do you make of it?
Well, you know, the French did it in the 60s, and their reasoning was, you know, far less intense than presently. I think this is very poorly argued. I'm not saying that this is actually going to happen. It's going to be an actual military confrontation. But if it does, the Israelis are going to lose, or the U.S. is going to have to be involved. You know, the so-called boots on the ground slogan. Israel is not, again, not in a condition to offer a lot of resistance outside of nuclear weapons. Iran has been destroying everything of significance, not just in Israel, but also, as you said, the American bases, which are now totally destroyed. I know it was, I think Oman gave the U.S., a few weeks ago, 48 hours to clear out entirely. There would be no tensions there. Keep in mind, in the Gulf states, this is important to note, that citizenship is granted only to a handful. In the UAE, Saudi Arabia, places like that, they're, 15% of the population are actual citizens, and they get everything for free. They don't have to pay for anything, no taxes, nothing like that because of the oil. But who does the actual work are often Palestinians, people of a Shiite background, and they always have to worry about what they're going to do. When the first Gulf War started, I remember Saudi Arabia kicked out all of the Palestinian workers, terrified of what any kind of an uprising there. That's something else that Turkey can use, and people often forget about it. Turkey's in an excellent position right now. NATO, talk about paper tigers. I think NATO is precisely what a paper tiger is supposed to be. I don't think they have really anything of note to fight against battle-hardened forces, whether they be in Turkey or Russia. I mean, Russia being the premier military in the world right now. The only reason that Israel can function the way it does is because of the United States. Saying that Ankara is an important ally of the U.S., well, that begs the question. That itself is unpopular in Turkey. It's a strong regional power. That's exactly the point. It's also true that this constant need for an enemy, that's, one issue. That's not the only issue. But that's one issue that Netanyahu doesn't mind at all, because the last time I checked, polls were like 85% in favor of what they were doing in Gaza. That was a while ago. So what's left of the Israeli population is fully supportive of these genocidal attacks. It's only the connection with the U.S. that maintains that country right now. So the U.S. is going to be in an awful position, a very awkward position, if there's any confrontation militarily between the two powers. I think Turkey would roll right over them. And whoever did that would be the most popular man in not just the Turkish world, but the Arab world. And would make, there's nuclear weapons to consider. But then people forget that Pakistan also has nuclear weapons. People love to talk about World War III. I make, they love this, clickbait stuff. But Pakistan is always there to defend if necessary. They're not going to permit this to happen. Iran has much better relationships with the Pakistanis than the Americans do, although there's somewhat of there's a pro-American faction there. This is why Turkey wants to be a part of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They're getting so many of their missiles from Russia. They try to play both sides off against another. But in terms of their electoral chances, unless they take severe action, that whatever party, of course, is Erdogan's party, is going to lose. And at the local level, it's already happened. So I'm not sure of the likelihood of a direct confrontation. But I know for certain that if it were to happen, Israel would lose very badly. The U.S. would be in a very awkward position. And again, whoever did it would be very, very, very popular in that part of the world.
Well, any direct confrontation with Turkey would not have limited consequences, but could expand to a wider scope involving the West, given Ankara's central role in sensitive issues such as the Russia-Ukraine war. and the refugee situation in Europe. And I'll just interject there as well. It was Turkey that arranged for the prisoner exchange, didn't it, between Russia and Ukraine. And it was Turkey that put itself forward as a mediator right at the start of the special operation in Ukraine, trying to be a peacemaker. So it does have quite a central role in that, I would suggest. A refugee situation in Europe, well, they're coming in through Turkey, aren't they? And Turkey doesn't appear to be doing much about it. It's not really Turkey's responsibility. It's Greece's responsibility to stop them from coming in, the same as it's not really France's responsibility. The ones that are leaving France, it's up to Britain to stop them from coming in. Turkey is also a strategic energy corridor, and it controls the Bosphorus and the Dardanelles Straits. The Turkish military is also considered among the strongest in the world and enjoys a notable degree of independence in defence industry, so it doesn't just buy all its weapons from the West or from Russia. Therefore, it is unlikely that Israel would enter into an open confrontation with Turkey, especially given the geographical proximity and the complexity of the balance of power. The more realistic scenario is the continuation of indirect friction, particularly in the Syrian arena, without escalating into a full-scale war. As for pressure, Israel may attempt to use economic tools to inconvenience Turkey, but this option is also limited in effectiveness due to interconnected interests and the complexity of international relations. Well, this is interesting, particularly in the Syrian arena, as it says here, because Bashar al-Assad was against Turkey. He didn't really get on very well with the Turks, but Israel wanted to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, and they have got rid of Assad. And now you have these Muslim fundamentalists that are running Syria. Are they more friendly towards Turkey, or are they more friendly towards Israel? I mean, it seems to be implying here that they would be more friendly towards Israel and that Israel could use them as proxies against Turkey. And is that what's being said here, Matt? What do you make of it?
I don't think that's what's being said here, but it's an excellent point. The you know, there really is no government in Syria. The people who the U.S. installed, they control certain parts of it. Assad's old army still controls the western coast. But it's very important to note that, you know, they're simply the people who allegedly run Syria have been pro-Israel all the way. They know where they get their money from, where they get their weapons from. They're not using Kalashnikovs, you know. They're using Western weapons. And, in fact, just recently, the Damascus government, whatever you want to call them, turned over a whole bunch of Iranian so-called spies to the Israelis. Hezbollah. So They're very clear, and they said that during the war, even before Assad left. So we know that they're a Western creation, and Israel really doesn't have the economic leverage this author thinks they have, especially as I've already mentioned, Turkey is under, you know, has put Israel on a full embargo. Prior to the Gaza war, trade between the two countries was maybe $7 billion, and that took a huge, you know, as if Israel needs more problems. I think the only reason that Turkey wouldn't roll over Israel right now is they worry about the U.S. They're not worried about NATO. They worry about the U.S. because they're well aware of who controls American foreign policy. You made a great point. You know, it was Israel destroyed trying to destroy the peace talks. And yes, in that 10-point, almost a surrender, that the U.S. Pretty much accepted. Yes, Lebanon was mentioned directly in there. The Israelis can't have peace. Their whole world is based on war. So Israel would be defeated very quickly Saying the strongest in the world, that happens to be true. They have their own military-industrial complex, as I said already. They get some weapons from, even some from the West. But I know they have the S-400 interceptors from Russia. So, that drove NATO crazy. And part of being a NATO member is you have to be able to, in terms of equipment and strategy, you have to be identical with other NATO members. And of course, now that's not the case. If there was ever any war that NATO was involved in, Turkey wouldn't be a part of it. So they have to be interchangeable. And Turkey is well aware of this. They also know all of NATO's secrets, whatever that might be. And I think NATO offers them very, very little. But, again, this is the first time Turkey has really stepped up. And it's because of Erdogan. And despite his errors and some of his statements in the past, his anti-Assad stance, you pointed that out, you're right. He has been a godsend to the Gazans.
Well, Turkey's leader Erdogan is threatening to send the NATO heavyweights troops into Israel to intervene on behalf of Palestinians in an escalation of rhetoric that raises fears of wider regional conflict. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan told a meeting of his ruling Justice and Development Party, the AKP, in the northeastern city of Rize on the Black Sea, that Turkey must be very strong so that Israel can't do these ridiculous things to Palestine. Multiple international outlets, including the Telegraph and the Jerusalem Post, report the remarks were made during a weekend speech in Istanbul amid accusations over Israeli operations in Lebanon. Turkish state media has pushed back, calling some coverage disinformation based on an out-of-context 2024 quote, yet the war of words continues to escalate. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has issued a blunt warning that has sent ripples across the Middle East and beyond. Speaking at a political gathering in Istanbul, he declared that Turkey stands ready to intervene militarily in Israel, drawing direct parallels to Ankara's past operations in Libya and Nagorno-Karabakh. Just as we entered Libya and Karabakh, we can enter Israel. There is no reason not to do it. It will require strength and unity. The statement, widely reported by Israeli and international media, comes at a moment when the region is already strained by overlapping conflicts. Israel engaged in ongoing security operations in Gaza, Lebanon, and shadow confrontations with Iranian-backed groups, quickly pushed back. Israel's immediate and sharp response, Israeli officials did not mince words. Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu branded Erdogan a self-obsessed and megalomaniacal dictator. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused the Turkish leader of persecuting Kurdish citizens in eastern Turkey while lecturing others on human rights. These exchanges are not mere political theatre. Well, I'm not so certain about that. I mean, I would have thought that quite clearly Erdogan wants there to be some kind of a threat there because it might affect Israel's actions in Lebanon. That's what he's talking about, the breaking of the ceasefire. Turkey needs to be strong about this to prevent Israel from carrying out these outrages effectively. So I don't think there's anything really behind it, but I think that's all he's trying to do. I think that he's just trying to influence Israel and stop them from attacking Lebanon, because I don't think that Turkey would go in there and attack Israel, because America would see that as an attack on America. Although obviously the fact that he's a member of NATO also comes into this. I mean, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Would America attack a country that's part of NATO? But look, of course, the NATO members are supposed to come back and defend them as well. But as we saw with Trump invading Iran, it's only if they've been attacked by self-defense that NATO countries will go in there. Because America attacked Iran first, NATO doesn't have to go in there. So if Turkey did go and attack Israel, again, NATO would not have to back him up, I don't think, if America was then to go after him. Matt, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, you know, they say it's out of context. You know, what he means by the, I don't know Turkish, but what he means by the word enter. The exact quote was this. Had Pakistan not been mediating in the war between the U.S. and Iran, we would have shown Israel its place. Netanyahu is blinded by blood and hatred. Just as we entered Libya and Karabakh, we could enter Israel. So, you know, entering, you know, those two wars, yeah, Turkish troops were there, were a part of it. Or at least heavily, I mean, of course, those are, you know, Libya's a disaster. That the West created. So that, I don't know, that's that, you know, it, and he said it in Pakistan. He's aware that Pakistan would have their back, at least in terms of nuclear weapons. And I think that people who are writing on this stuff don't realize how bad the situation is in Israel. But Israel and all the Gulf states have laws now where you can't show legally the destruction. And there have been arrests all over the place. A few weeks ago, Saudi Arabia rounded up a whole bunch of people for the American bases that were destroyed. Israel has very strict laws. You can't show the condition of the country. There have been some have been able to be, you know, sneak through. But, you know, Israel just assumes that the U.S. and NATO will be there to assist it. Everything that Erdogan says here is absolutely correct. And it's the last thing that Israel needs. You know, Israel and the U.S. have lost this war badly. And now to include Turkey, that would simply be the end of Israeli power in the area. I also love the fact that the Iranians have hit the settlements, these fanatical Jews who have killed Arabs and taken their land in the occupied territories, that they've deliberately hit the big settlements in the West Bank. Finally, there's some justice for these for the Arabs that have been killed and pushed out. Most of them were close to the Lebanese border. That made me smile when I saw that. So they're living in bomb shelters now. And I think these settlements have also been destroyed. And remember, all of this came from the Hamas invasion of Israel a few years ago. And I think part of their agenda was to include the entire world in this, and they won. Not only did they fight Israel to a standstill, but now they have widened this war. Israel's exposed for what it is, maybe for the first time, as far as media is concerned. Netanyahu did not help matters. You know, there were huge demonstrations against him before the war started. And all of this began because of Hamas's action, their breakout of Gaza, and showing what Israel truly was, is.
Well, I certainly think people now do think differently about Israel on both the left and the right. Even Donald Trump's biggest supporters have all turned against him. Even Alex Jones has turned against him because of this war in Iran, because America is so clearly beholden to Israeli interests. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.